Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This week on the Beard Laws Podcast.
I'm a TNA person, man, male or female. I'm immediately, I don't know what it is. I'm just going to look. I'm like, boom, butt, boom, boom. I'm a pervert.
I had this big girl tell my friend, smack it harder. Harder! I saw the look in this gentleman's face, my buddy, go to horror when he realized he tried his hardest and it wasn't hard enough.
Oh, yeah. That room's going to be sticky. This may shock a lot of people. I hate strip clubs.
In the realm of beard loss, a trio strong and true. You've been Brandon and Beard Loss with tales both old and new. Their whiskers like a forest, their knowledge like a stream, guiding us through beardom and culinary dream. Beard Loss, the sage of facial grace, with whiskers flowing, setting the pace. You've been the jester in clouds of green, laughs and wisdom and sight unseen. Brandon J. McDermott, food daddy supreme, a feast of facts, a culinary dream.
You're gonna do what? Is that a softball shirt, Euban? Is that like the kitchen corner?
My daughter's softball team.
Nice.
Let's go Cardinals.
I'm a coach and I'm still trying to figure out how to do proper forms of pitching. I was a baseball pitcher, which nobody cares because I was a has-been, but like trying to figure out how to do like good form and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I'll just go to the YouTube. You know, YouTube's educational. And it's like every video, they're kind of different. Like nobody is teaching you the same kind of thing, the same form. And then the kids started watching with me some college softball. And they all pitch different. It's not like there's one. I'm like, we're just going to do our own thing here. Kind of like a jump shot. If it works, let it go, you know?
I was trying to brag to my daughter that I could easily pitch underhanded, you know, do the whole wind-up thing. And I crushed the back of my leg with that softball. I mean, just obliterated. I got a bruise and everything. I was like, this, we don't speak about this.
Cries back to the car.
I know. I was like, that didn't even hurt.
Still got the seam marks on it.
It just had like the seam just right out of there on the back of my leg. It's nice. It's nice.
You got a tattoo, didn't you? Just so it looked even more tough.
I should have. But honestly, I'm terrified of needles. I'm a quivering pussy.
That's okay. That's probably a good thing.
Yes.
Until you go get a flu shot.
That's what nurses always say too. Because I'm always like, hey, we need to draw blood. I'm like, I'm not going to look at it. She's like, it's the people that aren't afraid of needles that we're afraid of. And I was like, touche. Okay.
Yeah. But then you get those people, I forget what the people that draw your blood, the official name is, but then they like get super into looking at veins and stuff. And I'm just, that kind of creeps me out too. I remember going to get blood work one time and they're like, wow, you have great veins. And I'm like, the fuck? It's kind of weird.
You should see the fang start sticking up.
That's my wife's a nurse. And every time that she sees somebody with veins, she's like, oh my God, look at those veins. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, what? Close your mouth. Put your tongue back in your mouth. What the fuck?
Since you potentially work in the hotel biz, is there any signs that somebody walks in and you're like, yeah, that you could make it weird for your wife?
No, I don't look at their veins. I just stare at their tits. I'm a TNA person, male or female. I'm immediately, I don't know what it is. I'm just going to look. I'm like, boom, butt, Boom, boom. I'm a pervert.
Do you have the ability now, because you've been in the biz for so long, when you see customers coming in, like, can you be like, they're going to do, like, that room's going to be very used in a weird way, or like, yeah, they're going to probably be all right?
Yeah, it's usually, I mean, I don't know. I don't do a lot of the check-ins anymore, so I don't see the people when they're coming in, but sometimes when they leave, I go, oh, yeah, that room's going to be sticky. Like, that's going to be an extensive clean today, ladies. Like, that's going to be rough. But
that better be a good tip, because when I was delivering beer for a couple of years, I could legit probably look at a person and know at least one, I could guess within two guesses, maybe three, of what alcohol, what beer they're in there to buy, just by looking at a person. They say don't judge a book by its cover, but goddamn did I get good. You could tell the Busch Light drinkers from the Budweiser drinkers to the seltzer drinkers. Like, you could get a pretty good vibe from it.
The NASCAR shirt's usually a dead giveaway for the Busch Light drinker. So I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah. There's a lot. I don't know whatever Busch Light did. Congrats to them. But I mean, there's a lot of people, at least in my area, that it's kind of taken over the, what's the right word? Not redneck, hickish, like the outdoors person, the hunting, fishing. They all love that beer. It's not my go-to. I mean, I've had some in my day, but I mean, and maybe it was smart when they were like, when they did the corn cans and said, you know, we do this for the farmers or whatever.
So, and they call it the 30 pack a bushel because it's the corn. It's nice. Yeah. They target whenever I was drinking, that's what I drink. I'm a big Busch Light fan. I can't, you know, I talk shit on it just because I love it and I respect it.
Yeah. That's what we do, right? Sometimes you talk shit about
like horse biz. I've never had horse biz before.
Yeah, right. I'm pretty sure Busch Light is like the bottom of the barrel because they're a huge, huge company. And I think I don't know, whoever bought them out, because it's not American or whatever, with the Budweisers and all of them, Anheuser. And I think like right when it gets down to like the bottom of the barrels, that's when they take the liquids, the fermentation, all the stuff. And that's how they create the Busch Light. It was kind of like Jenny Bock. A lot of that came from, hey, we're getting ready to clean the stuff out. We'll take kind of what's left, put it out there into a beer and love it. And that's why it's so cheap, because they were more or less going to get rid of a lot of this stuff. That's what I heard. I don't know if it's true. I don't brew beer there. So maybe somebody who loves Busch Light is probably going to come at us, and that's okay. Maybe that was clickbait and you fell for it.
So you boys are drinking the bottom of the barrel.
Boom.
You know what? It was delicious. I licked that barrel.
I'm not much of a drinker, as you boys know, but I went out a couple of nights ago to a concert with my wife, I'm a frou-frou kind of guy. I like a vodka squirt is my go-to.
Squirt's fun to say.
Lucky for the misses.
Yeah. I switched to Budweiser, and I got to tell you, I'm a fan.
Just straight old normal Bud.
Just Bud, yeah.
Look at you. God damn. You just moved on.
It doesn't look like I'm counting calories. Let's be real.
That's why they call it food daddy. Look at you drinking the grown-up beer.
My grandma used to drink it. It was the first beer I ever had when I was like three. So
it is iconic. Like, you see that red, that white, those Clydesdales, you know Budweiser. I have an aunt. She loves it. That's all she drinks. I went through a phase where some old-timers at the bar, most of them not around anymore, they drank Budweiser. So I would have those days where I would try to drink Budweisers with those. Dudeweisers, we'd call them. Holy shit, for whatever it was, super fucking headache. Every single time. Like, one of the worst hangovers. Of course, I'm not going out and having one or two Budweisers. I'm going out trying to drink 20-something of them back in the day, you know? Like, but it's guess when Budweiser was created?
Oh, 19th century, 1800 sometime.
Civil War, 1865. They celebrated with a Budweiser.
1876.
Oh, I said 75. So there you go.
Wow. It's been around. I mean, that's near you too, isn't it?
St. Louis, right?
St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Most of our beers that started early on were started by immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Germans, the Czech, the... So it wasn't, we forget about all that, or how our country was founded on, basically, we came from a different country. It was trying to, and throughout our entire history, it's been that. Trying to find the American dream, right?
Yeah, Budweiser is of German. It's a German word that meaning Budweiser is, I guess, what it came from. But they're Belgian owned now. I think I said German. They're Belgian owned now. Oh. So almost full circle.
Did you guys see the new bar in Vegas where they do not serve any alcohol? It's a ganja bar.
Oh,
no.
And so they have mocktails. So they'll you still get the environment of it. And I guess they have one of the best ventilation systems in the country, because you're sitting there smoking the entire time and you cannot smell it, supposedly. Debatable. But yeah, you can order different infused drinks. If you want to get a little mellow high, you want to do whatever. It's pretty cool. I forget the name of it. I'll have to double check.
Smoke and Mirrors? That's
what it is. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. So according to 8 News Now, for all your news, if you want, 8 News Now, live local now. That's what it says. Their headline said, first regulated cannabis lounge opens near the Las Vegas Strip. Obviously, it was approved recreational in 2016, but it's the first regulated Las Vegas cannabis consumption lounge and has opened, it took almost 7 years. So the first of 19 approved lounges in Nevada. Yeah, it'll thrive in the cannabis marketplace near the Vegas Strip. Clark County Commissioner Tick Segerblom. Tick. Imagine naming your kid Tick.
What's it short for?
It just says Tick. But guess what? They're opening the lounges Friday at 4:20.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Well played.
Oh. Nice. So I got a question, boys. Kind of changing the topic up a little bit.
Yeah.
I have noticed, and I'm sure you have too, names of strip clubs around you. What is the, and I want to know, we can find a couple of names that are kind of funny. What is the funniest, silliest, or coolest name you've heard of a strip club? And I'll give you a few of mine while you're thinking. When I was in Denison, Iowa, town of 6,000 people, there was one called Bookums is what we shortened it to, but it was short for Bookum Danos. You know, Bookum Dano.
Bucko Dano.
That's the name. The name of the business is Bookum Dano's, right on Main Street. Here in town here, there's one called the Second Street Slammer. In Omaha, there was, on the outskirts of Omaha, because you couldn't have one like in city for whatever reason, which is weird. Because as a big city, the Playhouse, which is just a normal one that you probably have heard of, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some weird, funny ones that you guys have seen or ran into or friends have told you about?
Ooh, go ahead, Yuvin, unless you want me to go.
This may shock a lot of people. I hate strip clubs. I fucking hate. I know I'm a deviant. I love seeing some TNA. I fucking hate them. I absolutely hate them. Go ahead.
I would be kind of grossed out if you enjoyed them, be honest with you. I mean, I've only been to one. And I mean, it was an experience I'm glad I took part in, but wasn't something I would want to do more than that.
Yeah. I mean, I got some friends who are always like, oh, let's go to strip club. And I'm like, no, I got a phone that I can just load up a website and just see shit for free.
2 billion boobies with one search.
Like, and they're like, oh, we can get some beers. I'm like, I don't drink. And I was like, I'm not interested in anything that you're presenting right now. And I was like, and it's 30 minutes away. Like, all of it sounds awful, but I don't know. Loud music. I don't know if it's something with my tism or not, but I hate loud music around people. And then like somebody trying to touch me and stuff like that. I'm like, ugh, get the fuck off of me. You know what I mean? I'll go for the giggles, but I don't want anything else. Mm-mm, I hate it.
See, I grew up on a border town. So for us, we could go to Canada. We could go to the province of Quebec as 18-year-olds and legally drink.
Talk about Bush Light.
Being 18 and drinking and kids, that also led to lots and lots of strip clubs and lots of bad, dirty strip clubs. And kind of the like Vegas has a strip, Montreal has a strip. It's like St. Catherine Street. I always mix it up, either Saint or South. One's in Plattsburgh where I went to college, one's in Montreal, but Catherine Street. And the one that like we always would go to, I don't know if it was the popular one or whatever, but we always go, and it was called Club Super Sex. That was the name of it. And right on the strip, and you had to go up an aggressive amount of stairs And you go in there and it's dark and there's just stages and weird little private rooms and then back rooms where you could buy the champagne room. And it was just this whole other area of just nastiness. And you could pay to have these people do whatever they want, whatever you want. And it was just, it was, but you could get a bucket of beer, which would be like 10, 12 beers for like $5 American. You know what I mean? Like when you go over there, you're working, you know what I mean? You're 17, 18, 19 years old. You go over with $100. It was like hundreds of dollars because of the exchange rate. So you went over there, and as soon as they knew you were American, you had the most best looking women coming up to you, saying, like, we went enough where we knew it was all just a game, whatever. But every once in a while, we'd have those first timers come with us that were like, yeah, we're going to go have sex. And we're like, that's a strip club, bud. That's not what's going to happen. But a buddy of mine was like, hey, found this new strip club. And I wish I could remember the name of it. But you went in, it was the first exit in Montreal towards us. And it was this old hotel. And we're like, what the fuck? And it looks rough on the outside. So then you go in and it is like super nice inside, but it was super awkward. Like you kind of sit at tables almost that I remember almost like in a bar, a pub or a restaurant. Just like huge tables, and the girls come right up to you and they just start grabbing you. They will do whatever, and they are all gorgeous. And then you're looking, you're like, oh, there's TVs everywhere, kind of like sports bar vibe-ish. And we're not really paying attention. One of my buddies goes, look at the fucking TVs. It was adult content just on the TVs. And we're like, what? And they, as soon as they found out you were American, the owner, the manager would come right up. Gentlemen, whatever you need, it's on us. First couple rounds, let's do this. So they would just give you beer. They would give you liquor. They would get you all buzzed up and then be like, anything you need. So a buddy of mine was home from the Navy and had some extra money, was on leave and really wanted to see how far these women would go. And apparently at this place, they would go very far, allegedly. And he got into a little bit of an argument match with some potential employees there. And we left there pretty quick.
So I went to I'm trying to figure out how I could word this. I went to a very seedy, and it was in the small town, Iowa. There's a lot of worry about where are these girls coming from? Cause they ain't from here, but man, any of rules that you guys have had as part of a strip club that is normal, like, everyday rules, they didn't fly. No touching, none of that stuff. It didn't fly. I had this big girl tell my friend, smack it harder, harder. I saw the look in this gentleman's face, my buddy, go to horror when he realized he tried his hardest and it wasn't hard enough. there were things that were inches in front of my face that I got whiffs of that I was like, oh.
All you can eat shrimp is back.
Yeah, I mean, you don't go into a candy shop and take the display stuff that they say, hey, you know, you could take a lick of this, and then lick it after other people have licked. That stuff happens in a lot of these clubs where said female goes from guy to guy to guy. Sometimes you can touch, sometimes you can lick. You know, I mean, you got to think how many of these old guys, lonely guys, are in there. And, you know, they find love with these people that are just there. Like I was, you know, being obviously in Canada and stuff and College Town and everything like that. I think College Town strip clubs are one of the weirdest things ever, because you get some of these college girls that just want some extra money and they go and do that, you know. But in New York, it's a little bit different because it's you can't serve alcohol if it's full nudity in a strip club. You have to serve.
We can bring ours in.
See, you can't legally bring it in. They have to serve like juice and stuff like that. Or if they serve alcohol, then it can't be full, you know, nudity or whatever in New York.
The strip club that we used to have back in 2000, I think this happened in 2005 or 2006. So it's been a while, but a kid that I went to high school with, he went and celebrated his 18th birthday, and they had this lady that would put a sucker on and hide it in a certain location in front of you. And then if you were their birthday boy, she would put it right in your mouth.
Nope.
He got herpes.
Yeah.
So, or something. I believe it was herpes. Yeah. So that place got shut down like a year and a half afterwards. And then it was rough. They had a lady there for my birthday because I was like, I'm not doing the fucking sucker thing. But you have to go when you're 18. You're like, hey, I'm going to go strip club. So there was a lady called the Big Bopper. Big lady as well. Had these gigantic personalities the size of a fucking,
She yell harder. Smack me harder.
It looked like a fucking Geo Tracer on each side of her chest. Like these things were fucking massive. And so she would sit you down and beat the fuck out of you with a belt if you wore it. And then she would take one of these gigantic breastises and lean over and smack you in the face with it repetitively. These things fucking, it was a sweaty Mike Tyson punch nonstop to the side of my fucking face. If there would have been a good camera, just the slow motion of just the sticky sweat dripping off my face with slap.
So I got ringworm.
Well, yeah. So if you're wondering why I hate strip clubs, that was my first experience. So big fan of strip clubs.
I mean, those are some tough ones when you have buddies getting herpes from suckers and you're getting put into the concussion protocol from a stripper's boob. I could see why you wouldn't like, you know. The weirdest thing is the people that get kicked out for trying to take pictures in there when cell phones first started getting cameras and stuff. Man, I saw people that, like security and stuff, they'd sit there, they'd come flying, they'd take the phones and smash them.
Dang.
Smash them. It's like, they would warn you. And then when you were so drunk, dumb, or just didn't care, not good.
Did you ever take a girlfriend, a spouse, or anything like that to a strip club? Have you guys ever done that?
No, I know people that have. And I've gone to strip clubs with females that I was friends with, but not girlfriends. And the girls love them way more.
Yeah. Yeah. So the girls will pay more attention to the girls there, which, you know, I get it. It's probably more comfortable and less creepy than, you know, you don't have to feel about getting harassed as much. But I went again, this was years and years ago, but when my friend had turned 18, I'd already been and, you know, seen the Big Bopper. So I was like, hey, we're taking you for your birthday. Like this is happening. And we're sitting there, and if you put a dollar down, you know, the girls would rub their chest and on your face. There's a line full of people just getting this done. And my friend's kind of like, he's got a dollar. He's like, I kind of want to do it. And I'm like, go ahead, dude. He's like, I'm only doing it if you do it. And I was like, nope. Don't bring me down with you. I'm here to support you, but I ain't doing that.
PTSD, post-titty syndrome disorder.
So my wife now, but she was my girlfriend at the time, was like, hey, you know, go ahead and do it. Do it. You got it. It's your buddy. Help him out. I'm like, all right. So I go over there and I put my lips in my mouth. I'm like, get this thing done. And then towards the end of the night, I was like, hey, you know, give me a kiss. And she's like, you just had tits on your face. I'm not giving you a kiss. I'm like, oh, you set me up. Now, next week later, I'm going to remind you, I'm a terrible, terrible person. I've made improvements, but I was really, really bad back in the day. Let me preface this, okay? I was petrified of people with Down syndrome. I know it sounds terrible. Listen to where I'm going with this. I was in Walmart. So there was a kid that was having a class of 09 hoodie on, and my girlfriend at the time was wearing the same hoodie. And he's over there like, hey. And I look at her and I was like, hey, because he kept asking for a hug. I go, don't fucking hug him. Don't just stop. And she's like, I'm going to give him a fucking hug. Don't be an asshole. She gives him a hug. And after we're done shopping in the parking lot, she's trying to give me a hug. And I'm like, this is exactly like the stripper situation. This is not different. And she goes, he was a young kid. I was like, he's the same age as you. He's wearing the same fucking hoodie. He's not a young kid. I was like, no. And so she tried to hug me and I shoved her in the Walmart parking lot. Did she fall down? I barely even shoved her, but I was like, don't get away from me. I was standing on principle. So she fell down. So it looked really bad that not only did I push a woman down, but it was because she hugged somebody with a mental illness. So it was terrible. But that's reminded about every fucking Thanksgiving when someone mentions, you know, strip club or something. They're like, remember when Brandon pushed me because I hugged somebody with Down syndrome? I'm like, yep.
There it is.
Yep.
Statue of limitations. Come on. Yeah. I'm a changed man.
We all have our line in the sand. She crossed it.
It was strippers and bachelor parties definitely like a thing in your area where buddies would want to do that? And, you know, because up here, a lot of times, like you could arrange that they would just come up here. I mean, there was women that were driving 5 hours round trip to come up and do these private house parties and stuff. And at first we're like, these women came up and we're thankful, like, we're pretty good people. But it's like, could you imagine, like, these women just going up into small town, hick-ish, Bush Light drinking areas? Like, so another buddy, they did that, and they brought their own security, you know, with them, who is a very large man. And the first thing he says is, I am carrying a gun. I don't plan to use it, but I'm just letting you know so everybody knows. Like, I don't know where I'm coming. Like, we're like, yeah, it's cool, man. Like, we're in a house with a lot of guns. Like, we're not going to use them either. Like,
but I don't know where I'm coming. Sounds like me and my honeymoon.
I saw both of our faces light up like Christmas morning whenever he's like, I don't know where I'm coming. We're like, we do.
Yeah. As soon as I said it, I was like, that's going to get a reaction. If it was one of you guys, it'd end up being a soundbite probably, but not me.
Damn it. I'm going to learn how to do this. Now, New Orleans, disgusting place, rich of history. I'm sure, you know,
Jesus, I did some tourist stuff,
but a lot of strip clubs over there, lot. And went to a bachelor party over there.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
First strip club, and walked in this place, and I even told the ladies, I'm like, hey, not interested in any of this shit. I just want to get on the balcony and I want to throw some beads. And they're like, okay, fine. And I was like, they're all dressed up like video game characters. So this lady dressed as Mario, I fucking love this lady. She kept hooking us up with 500 count bags of beads. She's like, go ahead, boys, have fun. I'm like, and it's not packed. This is like probably a Wednesday evening. It's not a busy night in New Orleans, but there's people just walking by. They don't even know we're there. We're like Batman or a gargoyle just sitting on top of this fucking railing, just waiting for innocent victims to come by. And we are just hitting them. We're not trying to see boobs. We are trying to hurt people. We're just throwing these beads down. It was one of the top 10 moments. Bob, I think I spent probably $20 and threw over 1,500 beads between four of us.
Wow. That's why you needed Tommy John surgery. It wasn't from like the youth of just beating your pecker. It was from throwing too many beads at Mardi Gras.
It's definitely from beating the pecker.
Oh, fair.
I'll add to that and say I've never been to New Orleans, but at the strip club event we went to, it was a goodbye party for me when I left the job last summer. And when we were there with all the workers at the radio station, and it was like towards the end of the night, and one of my buddies looks at me, he goes, this is the best team building exercise we ever did.
That's an interesting move for a place of employment. Like, I don't know if I'd ever attend one of those. Having to go to work functions where people are getting drunk and doing dumb shit on their own, that's enough. Going to a place like that, yeah.
I had one of the guys I grew up with, whenever he went to the New Orleans bachelor party, every time that the boobs would pop out and everything, he'd always scream, I can see both your points now. I get it. I'm just like, shut the fuck
Jesus.
Up, stupid ass. Now, in New Orleans too, and I think I mentioned this to Matt, this has probably been a few years ago, but there was a lady, if they ever ask you if you want a firework or a firecracker, politely turn it down, okay? I was wearing a red polo. So was a gentleman of mine as well. This young black woman comes up and she's like, I'm a sucker for a white boy in a red polo. And I was like, oh shit, okay. You know, she's like rubbing the back of my hair and she's like, you want a firework? And I was like, what is it? Is it a drink or is it? And she's like, mm-mm. She's like, I'm going to pull your pants down. I'm going to put that thing in my mouth and I'm going to lick it good. And then whenever you're feeling it real nice, I'm going to lick my finger and stick it right up your ass. And I was like, I'm going to politely decline because I got a flaring hemorrhoid. So what I would like you to do, my buddy here also wearing a red polo. He's kind of into that. And so I'm watching her. She's doing the same thing, rubbing his head in the back and everything. She's like, And he's like, okay. I can see the thing in the mouth. She's in there. He's like, yeah, boy, okay. And then you can see when the terror just hit, you know, the realization hit. And she's like, And I was like, holy shit. And she said she was going to do that to me for $15. And I was like, it seemed like a bargain. I'm a real good bargain hunter. And I was like, okay. And so he's like, he practically throws her off of his lap. He's like, no. He looks at me. He goes, did you know what that bitch just asked me? And I was like, what is it? He's like, for $40, she said she would suck it and then put a finger in my ass. I was like, dude, she told me she'd do it for $15. He goes, what the fuck? So New Orleans, amazing, amazing place. But watch out for them fireworks.
That's good. That's good.
He's if you ever look at it, there's probably, I think, 5 clubs within, I mean, a 30-second walk. It is crazy. You just walk into a place, you go, this is a bar. You're like, tits. No, it's not a bar.
Not a bar. I mean, it's warmer down there, so it's probably better to keep cool. But according to Google, where do you think, which town, which state, whatever you want to guess, has the most strip clubs per capita in the U.S.?
You know what? I'm going to go on a limb here. The drunkest state is Wisconsin. I'm going to say it's Milwaukee for some reason. I'm going to go with beer and boobs.
Okay.
I'm going to go the easy way and say Vegas.
Ooh. I would have never guessed this one. Portland, Oregon. Right?
I bet there's some pretty nasty
Oof.
Stuff going on Methody. There.
Yeah. It says there's 54 there. Which means that there's one strip club for every 11,826 residents. It also has fewer restrictions than other states, with the Oregon Supreme Court ruling that taking your clothes off for money is protected free speech. So use that as you will.
completely unrelated, a flight to Portland from Kansas City is $230.
It's not bad in the world of flights these days. Huh. Yeah, I would have guessed Vegas, too. Interesting. All right, so we're going to do the fantasy football draft this year in Portland. We were trying to figure out a neutral place from all of us, and where did we land? Nashville?
Yeah.
I think Nashville.
And then, you know, Burley over there, like, oh, my God, Nashville's so far. And then we actually plug it into the map, and it's like, oh, Nashville's actually kind of like the central point. And I'm like, fuck you, Burley.
I mean, for him. He's got the farthest haul, but me and him have the farthest haul, obviously. But that's what you get for, you know, living in Texas and pretty much Canada. Much Very different true. Places, much different borders. Comes out when we tell stories about borders and buying land near borders. Apparently, there's a lot for sale down on the Texas/Mexico border. Not the nicest land, but it's pretty cheap. And a lot around there. But he says you don't want to buy it.
Jeez. I'm still trying to figure out. He has a very protected identity on the internet, and I have been trying very religiously. Every time he sends a video, I'm like breaking it down. I sent Matt a video, and I was like, hey, man, you're really good with this stuff. This is what I've got, though. Like, this, like he sent this video. He has a hat on his desk. I'm trying to research this logo because I was like, I'm pretty sure it's his company. Like, and if I can figure out his company, I'm going to directory database, and I'm like, we are just in the right direction. Boom. So I'm sending him like little screenshots. I'm like, what's this little wave look like? You know, and I'm even doing reverse image searches on Google. I'm feeling like the FBI at this point, and I got nothing. I follow that Jose Monkey on TikTok. You know, when people are always like, hey, come find me. And then they're just showing him the surroundings. He can find this shit. I've got literally a company name in a video, and I still can't get it. Fucking suck.
I couldn't make it. I couldn't make out the company name. I couldn't see it in there. Why didn't you just have Jose Monkey do it for you? Big, what are you charged?
Oh, I don't know. I think he just does it for free. I might have to click, hey, buddy. This guy, I feel like he's a long-lost brother, and I'm trying to get his information, but he doesn't really want to reach out to me. Can you figure out where he works? Because now Burley says he's in Houston. Do we even know that's true?
Houston area.
Yeah. He'll be like in Connecticut. You know, he's like, oh, that's Houston area.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He's probably throwing us off because I kept researching companies in Houston or in the Texas area, and I'm like, maybe that's why it's not working.
Yeah, but remember he has the chemical explosions and stuff. We heard those, and that does happen in that area quite a bit.
He also has a soundboard.
No, that wasn't. I've seen it happen a couple of times. Remember the time too, and it lost power.
He unplugged his PC. I'm skeptical at this point. I don't trust him. Worth a fuck.
Well, there's programs out there. I'll hook you up. You can send him some stuff. And then once he clicks, you'll know exactly where he is.
There we go. Okay. Well,
allegedly.
And it's just like Brandon. Every time he sends me a Facebook video, it never works. He's always like, hey, watch this. And I'm like, I got you. It's just a gray screen with a loading screen on it. I'm like, is he fucking with me?
You know what? Well, it's funny is one of my other friends told me it did the same thing for them. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So at least
you guys
I know
not follow each other on the Facebooks?
I think I follow your public.
So I'm saying if he sends it as a friend and you don't follow, it might be because of that. That's my guess. Because when he sends them to me, I'm able to see them.
Maybe that's what it is. Okay, so I'll just have to see if I can't add you as a friend on Facebook. Because it's every single time you're always, I get a notification. I'm like, oh, sweet. You know, I'll go ahead and open it. I'll try it 3 days later. And it's still the same thing, just a gray screen. And I even sent him a screenshot. I was like, hey, man, I'm not being a dick and not liking the video. I'm trying. it just won't load.
this is a weird segue, but I was looking at Brandon's hat and then my brain started thinking hockey for some reason. Did you guys hear that? I know this isn't a sports podcast, but it can be whatever we want, that the Phoenix or Arizona Coyotes are moving to Utah.
Yes.
Utah. Full circle of our pre-show conversation, but Utah is going to have a hockey team. I'm sure the Jazz does well, right? So attendance wise.
That was the comments that I've seen from people in Utah. They're like, thank God, at least we actually have fucking Coyotes here. There's no Jazz in Utah.
I was wondering how that name came about.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it was because they started it in New Orleans and they just went to Utah and they didn't change the name.
I could see that. Yeah, I could see that. The Jazz do rank 14th in the league for attendance. So I probably would have looked maybe if it was me for like a top five place to maybe move another sports place, but I don't know, maybe Utah. Let's see, top 10 NBA attendance in 2024. I would have never thought in a million years, if anybody has this on their bingo cards, that I would ever Google this.
Apparently there was rumors of Kansas City getting the Coyotes. I guess they were in the rumor mill, but there's also rumors of the Chiefs and the Royals possibly leaving Kansas City as well. So.
Yeah, they got to get rid of two to get one in. Top attendance in 2024, Chicago Bulls, which already got Chicago. Dallas, already got Dallas. Philadelphia, already got one of those. Miami, probably not going to throw in some more Florida hockey. New York Knicks, they already got a couple down there. Denver, they already got Colorado. Toronto, already got the Leaves. Cleveland, I already have that. Boston already has it. LA, Orlando, Portland, then Utah. So maybe they were the top attendance ranked team that didn't have somebody yet.
So here you go. When the Utah Jazz came to Utah in the late 1970s, they didn't bother changing the name because the NBA sent it to Utah to basically die out. They didn't think the franchise would last in Utah, and changing the name would require too much time and money. With rebranding and all, they could just sell the franchise that was already made. Then the team almost relocated in the mid-1980s and ended up doing a bunch of other stuff, but that's exactly why they didn't do it. And it stuck.
Karl Malone saved the franchise.
Him and John Stockton in those short shorts.
They originally drafted Dominic Wilkins, but they traded him away for money, which helped the franchise stay afloat too. But.
Man. Being a guy that's a Pittsburgh fan, almost losing the Penguins years ago when they were pretty much for sale and without Lemieux and the people coming in and rebuying it, I was like, man, I got to be done with hockey. You know what I mean? I don't know if I could follow. I had a buddy that was a big Hartford Whalers fan growing up, and then they moved to Carolina, and he tried. He's just like, it's not that. You got the logo. You got the colors. They mixed them up, changed them. You know, yeah. It's just, you know, like, would Tony go and be a Cleveland fan, and then when they moved to Baltimore, would he root for Baltimore? Like, I don't know. I don't think he would.
Yeah.
You know, that's a weird one, though, too, when they keep the records.
Right.
This, you know what I mean? Now you have Cleveland in there, but not Cleveland records because it's Baltimore. I don't.
Well, it's like St. Louis. You know, it was, you know, originally the LA Rams, then went to St. Louis, then back to LA again. So I have some friends who were Rams fans that were completely like, nope, fuck them. I ain't rooting for them. Granted, easy to jump on the KC bandwagon, but it is in the state. So I get it being the other team to root for. But I know even here towards Kansas City, there's a lot of people who follow the Blues. You know, they're real big St. Louis Blues fans, but.
And it helps when they're good. They've been pretty decent the last couple of years.
I watched a little bit with TJ Oshie. That's the only guy I fucking know, I think.
And he was Washington for a while.
Mm-hmm. And then made some Olympic moves.
That's
whatever.
The thing, the shootout in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a rule for the shootouts, so they just kept sending him every time.
Yep.
I saw a map on something about baseball, and it showed all of the teams on a map, and a guy circled where it is and was like, yeah, Colorado pretty much should have the biggest fan base. Let me pull up this map. It's going to be a little tough to see because apparently nobody can put out a clean image on the internet. But look at this fucking area.
Wow.
And it's like, man, does nobody like hockey in these or baseball and sports in this area? Like, look at the area Colorado has.
I think a lot too is they get so much snow up there too throughout there, and it's, I mean, I guess New York does as well, but I don't know. It's because living in a college town, we get a lot of these baseball players and stuff like that will have more away games just because they can't have a good home season, so they travel south and everything, and it's a lot from Minot, South Dakota, and some weird like random places that are always coming down through Missouri just to play some games. So I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, like here. Even at the high school level and stuff. And when I was coaching, the assistant coach of a varsity team, we tried to actually push the state to swap fall and spring and have baseball in the fall, soccer and whatever else in the spring, because you can play soccer just like lacrosse and all that stuff in snow, in rain, where baseball you can't. So up here, you pretty much have to fit all of your games in now. And then our schools get out in June. And state play has to be done before school. So you're essentially playing a 12 to 20 game season in about 4, maybe 5 weeks.
Wow.
And it is miserable. I mean, these kids, and we're small town, and I know you've been, you can relate, and I'm sure Brandon, you know, of, you know, sports in small towns. If you have two pitchers, you're doing pretty good. So when you're playing, you know what I mean, 3 to 4 games a week, and you really only have two, and then it was stupid when, so we had two divisions. We had an East and a West. And when I was in school, what they did is whoever won the league in the East and whoever won the league in the West played each other. And whoever won that went to states. But then they had a sectional tournament that essentially meant nothing. So you could be the section champion and not go to states. You just had to be the league winner, play the other league winner for a chance to go. They thankfully switched that a couple of years after I graduated, but it's like, but now, and I see why they do it now, because they had to, you're crushing out a playoff, a game, and then all these playoffs. You could be the best team, but maybe not even make playoffs because you didn't have enough pitchers, you know? So you get these seeds that might be an 8-9 seed that actually win it because their ace can actually pitch right there.
Right.
They didn't have pitch counts and shit when I was playing, thankfully, but now it's probably better for the game with these young arms and shit, but
that's wild.
It sucks, you know, and being a guy that coaches even youth softball, you know, it's the same thing. We play 10 games. We're crushing out games. You know what I mean? We don't have to be done before school really, but we're trying to crush it out in 5 weeks. It sucks. The weather sucks.
Fuck.
But it is what
I'm probably going to, what's that? When you get a tan on your butthole, the perineum or whatever the fuck they called.
Act like you don't know.
Perineum.
I am 100% doing that today. Brandon, what's going to be upper 80s for you too, right? Or I mean low 80s for you today?
85.
I can see that sun hitting your face right now. It's glorious. I am
that
ready
first
to get
sunburn's
this.
The worst though, isn't it? When you kind of go from that wintery whatever and you're like, this is beautiful, and then you're burned. Fuck.
Yeah. I suppose we're gonna end soon, so I do want to say this since you brought up perineum. I've got terrible like not psoriasis, but like allergies to where eczema is what it's called. Yeah. Skin itches and stuff, dry skin, elbows, and fuck, I get it all over my ankles and stuff. I started developing it on my taint over the last several years where it comes in spouts. You ever need to just itch your taint like uncontrollably when you're in a group of people? You're like, I gotta go to the bathroom, pull my pants down to my ankles, lift up my grundle and just like reach down there. Like a fucking, like a troll under with a rock, you know, just.
Hey, I'd rather have them think that I have, you know, diarrhea or a bad bladder and have to go to the bathroom a lot than potentially thinking that they think that I have crabs.
True.
You know?
And if you get that eczema down in the taint area, and so say if it's, you know, anniversary's coming around, you know, the missus is wanting to get her good filling of dinner and you want to trim up around there, give the old bad boy a good cleaning. I mistakenly like shaved the taint hairs one time while having a little bit of the dry skin over there. Talk about an itchy fucking like inferno. That shit was awful. Oof. Never again.
Yeah.
You know, I thought maybe she would slip a tongue in the bee hole. I was going to give her a good clean gateway too there. She didn't do it.
When I was a much younger man, I enjoyed, the idea of a cleaner area down there. Now I'm an old man. I'm like, I don't want that. I want it to be like full on, like ravenous wolf. Like,
see, so I'm assuming do you have chest hair as well?
Yes, I do.
So, we're getting ready to go to Destin, next month, whatever, to the beach and stuff. And I was like, oh, guys, I got this chest fro going. I was like, you know, and she's like, you're gonna shave that before we go to the beach, right? I was like, no, why would I? I'm not trying to look like a 12-year-old boy out there. I got this luxurious chest where I'm like, no. And I was like, And she's like, I would suggest maybe, you know, shaving. And I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, so I was gonna ask, I mean, you guys, you're not shaving your chest there, are you? What the
hell
fuck?
No,
that's what, okay, I'm not,
it
just
looks so weird.
So when I kept going,
you can't
up to
see most of my chest anyways, let's be honest, but it would look pretty goddamn weird. Hair, nothing.
I guess that's true too. Well, and mine too is like, hey, the chest hair, it covers a little bit of the tit sack I got going on too. It blends it in. So I was like, no. I was like, I'm leaving it. Now, the only thing that sucks too is getting sunburned on the chest while you have chest hair. And you're like peeling the skin and it's just in there. So you just like scratch it and it's like, it's snowing.
Yeah.
Like my friend's like,
so I did.
He's like, do I want to say this?
I was waiting.
I did a question last week on my show of like, what is something that I do have a question of the day every day to kind of like pique people's interest. What is something that your significant other, your partner does that is really gross, but you accept it because you love them? And I want you to answer it, but also my wife called in live on the show. First of all, she texted me like 9 things and I was like, oh my God. And then she called in and I'm like she's about to call me out on like some of this stuff. The one she read off was, I pull belly lint out of my belly button and just go like that.
Here we go. Boop.
What about you, Matt?
Man, something that annoys me.
Choose loud. Slobbers, the hair on the side of the shower. You know, I'm like, it doesn't have to be anything crazy.
She does do. I mean, the hair on the shower, I would say that is one that I'm like. But she always gets me back with, I put beard hair and stuff all over the sink. I try to cover it. It gets everywhere. So
yeah, I can't really go after the hair thing. I do the hair thing as well, but I make sure when I get out of the shower to and throw it in the trash. But right now we have different showers, anyways. I have like kind of my bathroom. The girls kind of have their own thing, so it's not that. I don't know. I had a buddy that hates when people clip their toenails, fingernails, or whatever, like in a room, and they go wherever. And it doesn't really bother me, but I'm conscious of it because of my buddy, and I spent so much time like intentionally pretending to clip my nails in the office because, like, it triggered him. And I was just like, so, like, that's something I don't overly care. But I guess it is a little bit of a weird thing. Like, if anybody was just to clip them and then you don't know where they're flying or where they're going, and then you just leave them. But I don't really have anything that she does that super annoys me, to be honest. Like, and I'm not just saying this because she doesn't watch the show, so it's not a big deal. But, like, I don't have anything that pops into my brain.
Man, I could probably on a good day name like a dozen things. I'm just having a brain fart right now. Like, I mean, usually I have a whole bunch in the chamber. Now, there is one habit. It's not like disgusting, but that she does that just, I don't know why she does it. It drives me fucking nuts. It's so say if she finds a can of soda or pop or whatever, and she wants to go dump it in the sink before she throws it away, she will just leave it upside down in the sink. I mean, for an hour or more. I just walk by the sink and there's three cans just upside down in the sink. And I'm like, fuck are we doing here? Why are these not in the trash? And she's like, oh, I was going to get to that. And I was like, how long were you waiting? How long does it take to pour the fucking can out? What are you doing? She's like, oh, I just set them in there and I just go on to another thing. And I'm like, it's fucking 5 seconds. What are you doing? So every time I walk in, I go to the sink, I see some cans over there. I go, Jesus fucking Christ. So that's my only thing.
Yeah. That's an interesting one.
Yeah. Sometimes I sympathize with OJ. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, OJ.
You know, he's looking up at us.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I feel like there's no better way to say goodbye than that. So, Brandon, Euban, appreciate you guys. Anybody that's still listening to this for whatever reason, make sure to comment or send in or whatever you're probably not going to do, your favorite strip club name and your favorite OJ joke. And we will throw them probably not on the Facebook, maybe an Instagram story or who knows, but send those over. Check out youbeenwhackingoff.com, all the social medias. Essence of Whacking Off is going to be a thing on the old tickety-tock as well. He's got candles and stuff. Go buy some. Make your room smell better than you because you stink. I would have to imagine most of the people watching this show probably don't smell great. I know I don't have a shower yet at the time of the recording. Check out Brandon J. McDermott. He's got everything on there. He's got a book. He's got all sorts of social media stuff. Go follow, like, love. Appreciate you guys. And he's got belly button lint.
God.
I almost saw some chest hair.
So excited.
And if you're only listening, you didn't get to see that. Check out the YouTube if you want. But if not, that's cool too. If I was you, I'd probably only listen as well. But that's all we got. We'll see you next week. Keep your sticks on the ice.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.